Yeah. Hey, real quick, I need y'all to apply Scootage Ministry. So if you on the ends, if you can just kind of scoot your way into the middle, so we could just make some room for those who are still making their way in. We got some folks still making their way in, so if you could just scoot your way into the middle, that'd be great. If you got space, if you don't got space, it's all good. I got space up here too. If they need space before chairs, we got some space on the front row too. But I think we should do some Scootage Ministry. I think we should be all right. If you wouldn't mind, just stand on your feet. I know. And he worthy of us standing though, right? Revelation chapter 7 said that we are going to be standing around the throne of God, all nations, tribes, tongues, and languages, saying with one voice, salvation belongs to our God and to him who sits on the throne. And so I think it's all right to stand just for a little bit. Is that all right? So we're going to stand in honor of the living word of God. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. Now, if you're new with us, just give us if you're a dude, give me a who. All right, all right, all right, I like that, all right. If you're new in here as a lady, just give me a woot. That was a weak woot. I feel like a lot more ladies in here new here. But if you're a lady in here and this is your first time, give me a woot. All right, I heard y'all. Well, we as a church are going through the Gospel of Matthew right now, and we just made it out of the Sermon on the Mount. And so it was a good time, a fitting time to take just a quick hiatus. We're going to take a 3-week hiatus, and we're just going to be focusing on one idea. The new is here. So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at new creation this week, new life next week, and new unity the following week, and then we'll jump right back into the Gospel of Matthew, if that's all right. So this morning, we're going to be looking at new creation, and we're going to be looking at the tagline text for our church from which we get our pillars, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. Prayerfully, that introduction has given you enough reason and time to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. Everybody got it? Say amen. All right, but 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 reads like this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, NIV translation translates it like this. The new is here. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why don't you join me in a word of prayer before we get started? Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? Father, we have no hope outside of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's somebody in this room today who needs to realize that for the first time. So God, I have one simple prayer. Manifest the reality that the new is here by saving someone in our presence. Lord, we live in a culture where everybody trying to manifest stuff. Nah, we leave that to you. Show off your glory, King Jesus, by positioning yourself on the throne of someone's heart for the first time. Create a new creation today, Lord. By your grace and mercy, and in your name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Everybody agree with that? Say, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. 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 For the past few weeks, I've been thinking about this message. The message that would come out of our time of celebrating our 3-year anniversary. And can we just celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ for all that he did, all that he has done? I am genuinely blown away by what the Lord God Almighty has been doing. And I want to take the time, even at the beginning of my message, to get my boy, Pastor Ike Todd. We just celebrate the Lord for my mans. You can do better than that. If you're from New Creation, you can do better than that. Can we celebrate the Lord for my man, Ike Todd? We can celebrate him better than that. Like, the Lord has done a lot through our brother. Let's celebrate him. The Lord gave him a vision to plant in Orlando, Florida, church called New Creation Fellowship. And I'm going to be straight up with you. We said no from the rip. We was not feeling going to Orlando at all. But Ari prayed. The same one who prayed this morning. Y'all see the power of her prayers. She would not take no for an answer. So she figured she's just going to stop talking to us and talk to God about us. And I praise God that from the rip, Pastor Ike had a vision that the new would come to Orlando in a significant way. And by the grace of the living God, you were experiencing the reality of that vision. And I feel like we just getting started, y'all. I feel like we just getting started. As I was preparing this message, I had on my mind one reality, and it was that of Marvel. I walked in this morning with a black tee, and my man who I walk with closely, Keyshawn Hester, had this very hoodie on. I said, dog, I need that off you. It's too fitting. He has no clue. I've been preparing all week for this very message, and I wanted to introduce this, not just this message, but this series of messages through the world of Marvel, and he just so happened to be wearing something that he don't wear. As a matter of fact, when I said, yo, I might need that, he was all like, I wore it just to make you mad because I knew you would like it. God does everything on purpose. And some years ago, God, on purpose, because he knew I was going to preach this message, on purpose decided to introduce me to a friend who was obsessed with Marvel. This dude was one of those dudes who was kind of annoying with it. And this is at the time where the Dark Knight series was still popping. And so I don't know if you remember Batman Begins and the Dark Knight and the Dark Knight Rises, but there was a comparison and contrast between the DC world and the Marvel world. And honestly, I'm going to just be straight up with you. I thought the Marvel world was kind of corny. I thought the costumes were corny. I thought Iron Man was weak. And I would always make fun of my mans for his love for Marvel. And then he was like, yo, have you ever actually watched one movie? I said, nah, bro. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just let you watch one movie. I'm going to just introduce you. I'm gonna just give you the first movie. And let's see if you can put it down. So I began at the beginning. And after watching Iron Man, who I hated, I was hooked, yo. I got obsessed like my mans, and I understood what the world had understood, which was namely that they had created not just a story, but an entire world. And there were things in that world that made sense to me, but there were things in that world that did not make sense to me. So I was very grateful for the brother who put me on to this world, because I can go ask him questions when I was confused. I'm going somewhere with this. So I went and asked him, hey, explain to me why it feels like at times these guys are regular guys like Tony Stark, but somehow he survives stuff that regular people don't survive. Then I was asking him about Princess Shuri, how she survived the knife attack in the back and then all of a sudden did a backflip and then stabbed the dude back in the back. I didn't make sense to me. And there were some things that just didn't make sense to me. So I went to my brother who introduced me to this world as I was confused. And he got annoyed with all my questions. And at one point, he just simply said, that's just how it works in the Marvel Universe. I was irritated with that answer, but it set me free. I was able for the rest of my time watching the movies to be able to enjoy the movies for what they are, because I realized in that world, that's just how it works in the Marvel Universe. You are sitting in this place, many of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, because somebody introduced you to a different world, the kingdom of God. And that person who introduced you to the kingdom of God was most likely the person who would answer questions for you when you had questions as you read the story. And as you peered into the canon of scripture, these 66 precious books that we hold in our hands, as you would have questions, there were some things that they can answer. But at some point in time, somebody had to just tell you, that's just how it works in the kingdom of God. Everything in the kingdom of God is backwards. Everything in the kingdom of God is upside down. Everything in the kingdom of God is topsy-turvy. That's why we at New Creation have been going through the Sermon on the Mount, trying to help our minds comprehend what the angels already do. Namely this, that there is the kingdom of God and there's every other kingdom, and his kingdom will not be married to any other. Yeah. We are citizens of the United States in a temporal sense, but our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians says, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kingdom and this world that we are in is all messed up to our fleshly state. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go read the Beatitudes again. Not blessed are the wealthy, but blessed are the poor. Yes, sir. Go read the Beatitudes again. He says it's not those who have money, but it is those who are mourners that will actually be comforted by the God of all comfort. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go read the Beatitudes again. That it's not the powerful who will inherit the earth, but it's the meek who will inherit the earth. Yes, sir. It's not the hungry and thirsty for fame, but it's the hungry and thirsty for righteousness who will be satisfied. Amen. It is those who are merciful, not cancelers. First time somebody say something wrong or do something wrong, we want to move to cancel them. Praise the living God. He did not cancel me, but he canceled my debt. Blessed, no, not are the cancelers, but the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Not just the pure in action. Because a lot of us have pure religious action with no pure heart, and God says it's filthy if the heart ain't clean. Yes. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the dividers. Not those who are convinced of tribes. No, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And he even said, blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, which means that even if they kill your body, your soul is already free. The kingdom of God is backwards, upside down, topsy-turvy. And because of that, The kingdom of God cannot fit into any other kingdom, so we have to declare to the world, the old is past, the new is here. And in this new kingdom, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21, there are three new things that you receive as a believer in Jesus Christ. New sight, a new status, and a brand new service. New sight, new status, and a brand new service. I'm just going to walk the text with you. And I pray that if somebody doesn't have this newness in them today, they today would receive new sight. Today would receive a new status. And today would receive the new service. The text says, from now on, therefore, stop. Now he begins by talking about from this point forward, from this moment going on, from this present point all the way into the future, therefore, what? Glad you asked. We regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. This is new sight. From this point forward, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never see things the same way that you did.
Come on, yeah.
You've been given Christological context. And when you receive Christological context, it makes you see everything differently.
Right.
I'll never forget being a senior in high school. I was in physics with my now wife, by the way. And I would always go to the front of the class and I would lean over the desk so I can see the board. So one day, after seeing me do this for weeks, my now wife said, can you see? I said, yeah, like everybody else. She's like, we're all in our seats because we can see. Can you see? I said, hold on. So I backed up to where she was. You mean you can read that? She's like, yeah, that's why I'm sitting down. The whole class was sitting down and I was leaning over to the board and I never realized that I had a sight problem. So I went to the doctors. They're like, how long have you gone without glasses? I said, my whole life. I said, I've been hooping without glasses. On varsity without glasses. I ain't never been able to see. I can't imagine what the world is going to be like once I can actually see. He said, try these on. So I tried on the glasses. It was a little weird to me. I couldn't get my bearings because you had that like little peripheral vision. So it threw me off. I said, can I try contacts? So he said, yeah, sure. So he put the contacts in my eye and I really needed his help because he helped me like hold my jaw. You know, the first time that jaw a monster. Some of y'all still don't have contacts because you ain't want to touch your own eye. So. So I needed the help of the doctor to help me put the thing in my eye that I needed to apply to my eye. Thank you, Jesus. But after I put it in my eye, I walked outside, y'all. And I'm like, the world is different, though. I was walking up to trees. Like, dang, it's so much detail in this. You know how when you're a kindergartner, you just draw the little bark with the just fluffy grass. I saw trees like that until I had contacts in. And it gave me a different vision of what trees were. I was looking up at the clouds. I'm like, it really is blue. The stars look different. People look different. Everything in this world was changed simply by my eyesight. Nothing in the world actually changed. The world was still the same. My sight had changed. So to me, the world was altogether different. You, listen to me, as an image bearer, come into this world with impaired vision. Matter of fact, the scriptures wouldn't even say it that good. You came into this world blind. And so Christ, the doctor, doesn't even just get to apply Christological context to you, but he has to do LASIK surgery to be able to operate so that you can go out into this world and see the entire world differently. You are going to see trees differently. Why? Because there was a Messiah who died upon one. So every time you see one, you should actually be thinking of the cross and not anything else. You're going to see the sky different. Why? Because the Messiah ascended into the heavens. So every time you look up, you ain't just looking at the clouds. You're looking for Christ. And you will see people differently, and you won't separate them like bad people and good people. You will recognize that all were bad people since Genesis 3, and all have the potential in the name of Jesus Christ to become a saint, even though they were a sinner, to become holy, even though they were wicked. Everybody has that opportunity with new sight, though. So Paul, the whole time in 2 Corinthians, has been breaking this down in a myriad of ways. He's been trying to help them to understand five realities that they must see different. Number one, this new sight redefines their success.
That's good.
It's no longer about how gifted you are. It's no longer about how skilled you are. It's no longer about how nice you are with it. You know how tired I am of people coming to me, leading out with their gifts, though? I've seen really gifted people fall off a cliff in ministry because what? Their character couldn't back up their charisma.
Come on. That's so good. Come on.
I don't want to know nothing about your gift set. I want to know how you're loving your wife at home.
Come on.
I want to know what your kids say about you. I want to feel what they feel when I walk around you. I want to know what they would say. Because it's the hidden character, the hidden part of the heart, the pure in heart who will actually, listen to me, will actually see God. But if you have a disgusting heart, but you got all the gifts, you're actually the most dangerous. Because your charisma can actually cover up your character.
Lord Jesus, have mercy.
Listen, the people at Corinth was an exciting church. And we're going to talk about them next week. They was exciting. They had all the gifts in the world. They had prophets. There were prophets in the church? They had them. Check. They had apostles. Check. They had preachers. Check. Even Apollos rocked with them. He was the nicest of them. Check. They had people with words of knowledge. Check. You say, I'm just a discerning person. They had it. Check. They had all the stuff, all the frills, all the glitz and glamour, and yet they were a disgusting church. It shows you that you can be gifted and a dog at the same time. And go ask Jesus what he says about the pigs and the dogs. Discernment actually helps you to recognize the difference between people's skills and their character, between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you can exhibit to people's eyes the gifts of the Spirit, but it takes time to really show off the fruit. Success is redefined. But not only that, pain and suffering is redefined. Anybody need their suffering redefined today? I love this language. This is, oh, my Lord, this is so good. Dang, I don't want to preach this, so I just got to read it. Nah, I ain't going to preach. I ain't going to preach it. I in chapter 4, verse 7. Just. Pray for me, Pastor Ike. All right. He says, dang, this is so good. We're going to get back to this, I bet. I'm going to just read it.
But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us.
I got to say something. All right, listen. So the treasure he's talking about, he already defined as the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ Jesus in your heart. So what he says is he puts the glory of the knowledge of Christ. Think about how glorious Christ is. Before he came to the earth, the angels never ceased to say, holy, 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 holy. This glorious Christ was the one who created the entire cosmos. He is the very Word of God. And God squeezed him into the very womb of the Virgin Mary. Scientists go great crazier for a fake Big Bang than we go for the real incarnation. We act like that's normal. We be thinking about Christmas presents. No! God became, hear my words though, baby.
Wow.
He ain't even show up mature. Hebrews says that he had to learn things. All of that godness packed into a child. And he grows up. He lives a perfect life, dies on the cross, rises from the dead, and as he's ascending into heaven, he says, receive the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the person of Christ in spirit form. You got to understand the Trinity. The triune God shares a divine nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when he blows on them to receive the Holy Spirit, he's saying, receive me in spirit form.
Wow. Wow, thank you, Jesus.
You'd be like, I wish I could see Christ. You have him in you. This is why the Spirit of God is called also the Spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Same person. And that Christ lives inside of you.
My Lord.
All of that glory.
Wow.
Inside of you, though.
Lord Jesus.
All of that godness exists inside of you, though.
My God.
And that's why Paul, don't know how else to put it, he packed all of that glory inside of clay jars.
My Lord.
See, we don't know what clay jars are, but if you go to like a museum of this time period, they had clay jars all over the place. It was so many clay jars, they just finding them still to this day. So many clay jars that they just got tired of even showing them. That's how much the ancient world was saturated with clay jars. And he said, God put the uniqueness of the holiness of Christ inside of something that's just a dime a dozen. The only way I could put it is, I don't know if you've ever researched the largest diamond in the world. And as I looked at the diamond, I just had to apologize to my wife. I did not scratch the surface to how good it could have got, all right? But the largest diamond in the world weighs almost 1.5 pounds. You heard me? Pounds. Can I get a lady to just say amen? No expectation, though. Don't have that expectation on the homie. My fault, fellas. 1.5 pounds, though. They put it in a museum for a reason. Heavily secured. Why? Because it's so valuable. You know what God did? He took the diamond of Christ, and instead of hiding it in a safe, he put it in Ziploc bags. If you ain't catch it, Christ diamond, you Ziploc bag. I just need to be clear, because y'all might walk out of here thinking y'all the diamond. Like, no, you just the Ziploc bag. That's all you are. But he put it in Ziploc bags so that people wouldn't pay attention to the bag, but what's inside of it. So when we stare at you, they're really staring through you to him. And they want to know what's inside of you to make you like this, not you. So there's no reason to be arrogant. There's no reason to be prideful. All they're staring at is the glory of Christ shining through Ziploc bags. So when people start bragging on you or boasting on you or trying to compliment you, you just say, oh, I'm just a Ziploc bag. Now just take that, I'm just a Ziploc bag. I'm just a Ziploc bag. I'm just a Ziploc bag. The diamond is Christ. So, how does this work? Verse 8 of chapter 4. I'm going back to the main text. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Can I just share what this means? This is changing and reconfiguring how you see suffering. He says, we are afflicted in every way. Somebody say in every way. Yes. That means, yes, your suffering is in there too. He says, no matter what you've experienced as a believer, though, you're still not crushed. Still not crushed. Somebody say, Satan can't crush me. You can't be crushed. There's nothing that could crush you. He don't stop there, though. Man, help me, Lord. All right. Perplexed is just a word that means confused. Confused, but not, here's the language, depressed. Like, we don't have to be depressed as the people of God. And I'm talking as a man who struggles heavily with depression. I'm talking to me right now. I'm talking to Recap right now. You're like, you don't know me. Nah, I feel the same stuff. You're like, man, I just want to be out of this world. Me too. My new creation, no. I don't want to go back to that. They know. Listen, please hear me. No matter what you go through, things in life will be confusing, but you already know how the test ends. Yes, good. Yeah. You ever rewatched a movie? Like, I, for research for this, went back and watched WandaVision. Just wanted to see some clips and stuff. And the first time I watched it, I'm on the edge of my seat, like, what's going to happen? Now, because I know how the story ends, I'm just trying to see, oh, that's dope. Oh, that's crazy they put that in there. I'm a little bit more relaxed now because I know how the story ends. If you keep your eyes on how the story ends, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to return, will crack the sky, the trumpets will blow, and he will make all things new. If you keep your eyesight on the end, you can relax a little bit and just say, oh, yeah, this stuff is going to happen, but it's all good because I know victory is coming.
Hallelujah.
He says we're persecuted, but not forsaken. This is so ill in Greek, by the way. Because the wordplay Paul is using, I love Jesus and Paul and the writers of scripture, especially John. Like, the wordplay is crazy, but we sometimes don't catch it in English. So the word for persecuted is a word that means to chase after. And then he says, but we're not forsaken. That just means abandoned. So Paul is like, we're chased by the world, but God never stops chasing us. We're chased by the world to be killed, but God never stops chasing us to give us grace. So even if you chase me, world, I ain't never abandoned by my Father, so it really don't matter who's chasing after me, who's trying to cancel me, who's trying to say stuff about me. I have heard a better and different word from the God of all, from the God of heaven. So we don't have to worry about it. This part right here, though, struck down, but not destroyed. You know what this means? This means even if they kill your body. What did Jesus say? Don't be afraid of them. Cool. And listen, we take that as a theory here. But around the globe, they really got to believe this. Struck down, but you can't destroy me. Do you know as soldiers in the faith around the globe who get arrested for preaching Jesus? They get thrown into prison. They keep preaching Jesus. The prisoners and the guards keep hearing about Jesus. So then the prison guards are like, we're going to beat the Jesus out you. They like, cool, kill me. I'm just going to be worshiping Jesus. Then they're like, well, we can't kill you because you like that too much. We'll torture you. You know what they bleed out? Jesus. So while they're being tortured, they're playing for their torturers. Why? Because they know you can strike me down, but I ain't never going to be destroyed. What is this body? Do whatever you want to it. I will be with Christ, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what even matter? You are struck down but not destroyed. Now, as you hear Paul saying that, who is Paul? Paul went through shipwreck. Paul went through floggings. Plural. Paul, this is my favorite, John. Paul was stoned, I think it was in Iconium. Stoned in the city, right? Left born for dead. True story.
His friends and his posse, his other believers come up. They're like, oh, man, let's go pray for him.
Somehow he gets up from a stoning. I just can't imagine the state here. You had a headache, you think. He's trying to walk around. He start preaching in this city. He like, I think we just got to go back to the place that just stoned him. Why? Because you can strike me down, but you can't really destroy me, though. When you have new sight, it redefines suffering. And we be crying over a flat tire.
I'm going to just move on in the spirit, man.
Real rap, 1 Peter says, the way we resist the devil, one way, is actually by remembering that our brothers are experiencing the same suffering throughout the world.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You want to have a better fight against addictions that the evil one keeps pouncing on you? Remember the sufferings of your brothers. As we think about their suffering, it actually makes ours look petty, though. And it reinvigorates our walk with Jesus. That's just for free. So he redefines suffering. He also redefines our bodies. Somebody say our bodies.
Our bodies.
All right, fellas, give me another whoop.
Woo.
Your body is not your own. You were purchased for a price.
Good.
You don't get to do whatever you want with it. Urges come. The spirit is greater. Desires come, the spirit is greater. Listen, man, I have been deceptively set free into sin.
Wow.
By Christians who wanted to let me off the hook because they thought my fight was too hard. At some point, you're going to have to give in. You might as well give in this way and not that way. Just stop hanging with those brothers right there for a time period until you have the strength to not be led by them, but to lead them. You know who you should get around? Get around the people. I had to train myself to do this, by the way. Get around the people who feel judgmental. I know y'all don't want to hear this. The ones who feel like they're always judging you. Get around them. Because they're going to push you to holiness. I think the devil wants you to look at them as judgmental, so he'll keep you away from holiness. Get around those folks. Because our bodies are not our own anymore. Ladies, give me a woot. Your body ain't your own anymore. It was purchased for a price. So sweet nothings ain't expensive enough to buy your body. They ain't cost nothing. Hey, girl, you really good, you know what I'm saying? Them same teeth that's biting his own lip is going to be the same teeth that devour you in the end. He redefines our bodies. He also redefines the body. I'm almost done with this section. He gives us new sight to see the body in a different way. The body ain't just a whole bunch of people. Look around. Look around, look around. Like, turn your head. I know it's uncomfortable. We don't look at nobody anymore. We look at phones. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. Now, it's Sunday. Everybody trying to look good. If you knew their stories, you would be scratching your head. And God says that the church is his vision to bring about his plan and purposes to redeem and unite all things. Us! Look around. This is his plan A. Y'all. Now we got to be missing something. Why pick us? It's so once again, the whole world, the cosmos, and the angelic beings, Satan himself and his posse would know. It ain't them who nice with it. I am. If God picked really dope people, it'd be like, yo, you just, what they call them, a power couple. You got the groom Christ and this amazing people. Nah. Christ is the power man. And it wasn't the beauty and the beast where the woman was the beauty and he was the beast. Rather, it was the beauty and the beast. He's the beauty, we the beast. And yet he made us beautiful because he died as though he was a beast. So now in him, the body has become beautiful. He redefines the body of Christ. This is why you can't say, love y'all to death. You can't say you love Christ and not be a part of his body. This is Western ideals, just me and Jesus. We just gonna have our own thing. Let me take Jesus to coffee. Take Jesus out to tea. But I don't want nothing to do with his bride. Talk about my wife like that and see if you got a friend. No. Everybody, say everybody.
Everybody.
Need somebody.
Somebody.
Everybody, say everybody.
Everybody.
Need somebody.
Somebody.
Everybody, say everybody.
Everybody.
Need somebody. And that body is the body of Christ. He redefines the body. But finally, he redefines Christ himself. Because the world would say Christ is just another. You know what it is. He's just another prophet. He's just another man. Just another rabbi. Just another good teacher. Just another Messiah. He's just another. But when you realize that there's an empty tomb, you realize that he ain't just another. He is the one and only. New sight helps us to see all things different. Have you caught it yet?
Yes.
Next point, new status. Somebody say new status.
New status.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he... not will be, not might be, is a new creation.
Thank you, Jesus.
That is the greatest news in the world. And here's why. I think people are stuck in sin because they don't really realize what has happened when they've trusted in Jesus. So this is how we actually think about this. I'm about to talk to your heart right now. I bet this is how you believe, many of you. We think this is what happens. We're really bad. We're sinners. La, 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 la. Okay. Somebody tells us about Jesus. Aha. We say, yo, I want to receive Jesus. Plat out. Comes into our heart. Okay? This is what we really believe, though. This is what we really believe. So now what Jesus is going to do is make recab better. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. You're all dead. You just walking around like a zombie. You thought you had freedom. That wasn't freedom. That was slavery. You was doing everything the devil wanted you to do. And if you don't know Jesus right now, you're still in that state. And even as I say that, I know the Spirit of God is convicting you that, oh, snap, that's true. Like, I am walking around like a zombie. I don't know where I'm going next. I have no purpose in my life. I'm about to share good news for you, good news with you. The only way to get purpose in your life is to be made alive, which means because old recab is dead, I need a new recab to become alive. So when you trust in Christ, here's actually what happens. You don't go from being a bad version of recab to a good version of recab. You go from being a dead recab to a living one. So now, listen, every time I sin, all I'm doing is playing dead. You ever seen puppies? It's playing dead. The worst is like animals, like for real, who know how to do that in the house, though. Like, I ain't gonna go there. I don't wanna creep nobody out, but that joint is scary. Like, spiders do that joint. Like ants be doing it. Just. And you're like, oh, he already taken care of. We good. You just sweep him up and then the boy start moving. Stop playing with me. God is like, stop playing with me. Stop playing dead. Stop playing like you were what you used to be. Like you're trying to exhibit qualities of being dead. Y'all don't even think. Catch what I said. Now, because you have the risen Christ in you, you have to make real choices to sin. That's why we be wrestling. I'm going to just set some of y'all free. Stop cussing with your homies. You sound dumb now. You're not a good cusser anymore. Like, you're trash at it. Because you've been made new. You used to be nice with it. Now it don't even come out right. Because you're warring with the Spirit of God in you. It's just plain dead for you now. Y'all don't commit sexual immorality good anymore. You always getting caught. You're new. You're just playing dead. Yeah, y'all be trying to act all worldly. Like, I'm going to be real confident like the world is. I can do it. You sound dumb. You knew that it was only Christ who saw a prodigal son or daughter. Didn't wait for them to come from the mud, but went into the mud with them on the cross. Pulled them out of the muck and mire, took them out of the depths of that stench, and then brought them back home kicking and screaming. That's your story. And you sound real dumb when you be like, I did it. I can do it. No, no one will boast in the presence of a holy God. It's all him or it's not him at all. That's it. You're new, yo. Somebody say, I'm new.
I'm new.
Don't say it if you don't have Christ, though. Say, I'm new.
I'm new.
If you don't know Christ, say, I want to be new. Huh. Huh. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you don't know Christ right now, say, I want to be new.
I want to be new.
Yeah. We got you. Yup. We coming for you, sis.
Yes.
So, man, this is so good. The old has passed. Behold, the new is here. Now, y'all willing to learn, right? Y'all want to learn, right? Y'all cool with learning? All right, check it. So, in Isaiah chapter 65, this is a quotation or a allusion from Isaiah 65. If you were a Jewish hearer, you would have already known what he's pointing to. This goes all the way back to Isaiah 65. And in Isaiah 65, he is talking about how the old heavens and the old earth will pass away and the new heavens and the new earth will come. Now, that is cosmic. But here Paul applies it to an individual. Like, you might not know this, but when Jesus rose from the dead, it was eschatological. Say eschatological.
Eschatological.
Huge word, which simply means the last things. So when Christ rose from the dead, even 2,000 years ago, that set off an eschatological reality. This is why Paul can talk in the past tense about your future glorification. Because it's already done. In his eternal economy, you're already glorified sitting with him. This is why Paul can say in Ephesians, you're not going to be, you're already seated with Christ in the heavenly places right now. This is why we don't say the new is coming. We say the new is here. Because the cosmic reality of the end of the ages, where earth's gonna get a makeover. All them peach trees you eating, I can imagine resurrected peach trees. Resurrected. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm kind of allergic, though. Avocados. Resurrected, kind of allergic to kiwis. Woo-wee! All of it is going to be made over. The same, but different. And yet, Paul says, oh, if you want to get a glimpse of what that's going to be like, just look at a believer.
Wow. That's good.
If you want to know what's going to happen to Saturn and Jupiter and the Earth, just check out a believer. Look at them. They are commercial snapshots of a future movie to come.
Wow.
Now, here's my question to you. Are you a really good commercial or not?
No.
Are you doing a good job being a commercial? Are you a good advertisement for what's to come? Your only job is just to be an advertisement. You ever seen like really amazing trailers and the movie is trash? You all mad they stole your money by showing off something that wasn't going to come. God is the opposite. He put trailers inside of people who kind of live trash. But the real thing is so much better. There's a show called WandaVision. Anybody seen WandaVision before? I see that. Yeah, I see that. All right. So WandaVision creates a world within a world. And Wanda has so much power. It's kind of crazy. She creates this whole world, going somewhere with this as well, where all of these people enter into this dome. And as they go into this invisible force field, they immediately are transformed into something different. They're the same, but they different. Like, a postman is still a postman, but he's a different kind of postman. Like an ambulance is still an ambulance, but it's a different kind of ambulance. Like a clown is still a clown, but he's a different kind of clown. Kids are kids, but there's different kind of kids. Everything is the same, but it's different, though, as soon as they enter into that force field. Now, she is holding it all together by her own power. And the only reason she's doing all this is to make sure the vision stays alive. The vision is actually her own husband, the one who she loves, her spouse. So in order to make her spouse stay alive, she has to create a dome in which he can live. My goodness. Marvel, preach to me. We don't have one division. We have word vision. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he gave us, through faith in him, the right to be children of God. As soon as you place your faith in Jesus, you enter into the dome of the kingdom of God. You're the same, but you different, though. Like, I still look the same on the outside, but I'm totally not that human I used to be. Like, my kids, you look the same on the outside, but they're totally not who they used to be. Ike looks the same on the outside, but he's totally not who he used to be. And as soon as you enter into that dome, you realize that it is the power of the Word that is holding this whole thing together to keep you, the church, the vision alive. You are the new creation. This is why angels are longing to see the revelation of who the true sons of God are. Listen, they ain't worried about the earth. The angels ain't like, man, what's going to happen to planet Earth? They worried about what's going to happen to the people, though. They're longing to see us. Their eyes are fixated upon us because they like, we seen God create stuff. He's just nice with it. But how did he change her to become her? Because, you know, the angels should be observing. Wait. Recap gray? We smoking recap gray? The dog recap gray. The one who was introduced into sexual immorality at 5 years old recap. Who should never be free from that recap. The recap who would just want a woman to want him just so he can say he got that. I'm just being honest with y'all. And then move on. That recap. You change that recap into a faithful husband of 17 years? You do that though, God? Like, I'm blown away. And the angels are sitting there. That's why they rejoice, by the way. Every time one person repents and comes to faith, because they lose their mind. How is God doing this? Through a whole block party. Every time though, angels is always going crazy. How is God doing this? Scientists be staring at Saturn. The angels are staring at you. For you are the new creation. You have been given a new status. So if we was in an old black church, they would pull out the Hammond B3. My man Roosevelt would start running around this joint. Somebody would start playing the right chords. Shouting music would come on. And we would be wilding out based on new sight and new status. What we don't like is new service. Because those two are mercies and graces that we receive. The new service is a mercy and grace that we're responsible for. We like the reception. We don't like the responsibility. But it's not my words. It's Paul's words. This is what he says. All this is from God. From who? Not us, from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the service. That is in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting, hallelujah, their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. This is hermeneutics 101. When a word is repeated, that means we should pay attention. What word did you hear over and over on the count of three? One, two, three. Y'all reading. Y'all locked in. Reconciliation. Here's the problem when we come across a word right like that. We define it based on our own culture, which means that we oftentimes define it in error. So I'm about to explain. Y'all said it. What's the word again? So y'all said it. I ain't say it. So that means we need to know exactly what that means so that we can understand what this new service is really built on. The word reconcile is a conjunction word in Greek, katalasso. Can you say katalasso?
Katalasso.
I like that. Give me that one more time. Katalasso. Hey, fellas, let me get a deep gully. Keep my words. Thank you, Jesus. Gully, just it's gully, katalasso. That's tough. Yo, some of y'all single sisters is like, I like this church. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. My sisters, katalasso. I like that. Katalasso comes from this conjunction word, kata, meaning down to a point, and alo, meaning to change. So you put it together, reconciled simply means to change something down to a point. Wow. Now, what in the world does that have to do with two beefing parties coming back together? Glad you asked. If you've been in any relationship for any amount of time, you know that in order for a beef to get squashed, somebody has to change. Think about any beef you've had. Somebody had to finally say, I'm letting it go. Now, the other person might respond, and if they're not honest, they're going to be like, I was about to say the same thing. But you didn't. That's what I'd be wanting to say, but I don't do that. Somebody has to apologize. Somebody has to change their actions. Somebody has to do something. It's called repentance. They have to change in order for two beefing parties to come together. Why? Because they're beefing because they're at odds with one another. They can't fit in their current configuration. So they have to change. Now, look at me. And I need you to pay attention to me right now. Because we about to do war with the evil one. This world, especially in the States, and they do it in subtle ways, is going to teach you that, of course, you and the kind of God the Bible describes can't fit together, so we'll change God, not us. We lower his standards of holiness. We say stuff like, well, he ain't really mean that. And we begin to subtly change God. And we even do it from the pulpit, subtle though, by saying stuff like, And, you know, God knows you're weak. He got you. He does. And leaves the standard the same so that you stop reaching for the standard and reach for him who already accomplished it. And through the power of the Spirit, now the standard is not something you're stretching out to somehow get to, but it's who you already are in Christ. Just let him live his life in you. But the world, knowing that we want relationship with God, changes who God is so that we don't have to change. I don't care what religion you want to turn to. I don't care what ideology you want to turn to. All of it lowers the standard of holiness of God. Islam says just your good deeds got to outweigh your bad deeds. Now check it. If my good deeds just got to outweigh my bad deeds, on what scale? Because you know the thing that God ain't checking? That God? Why I did the good deeds in the first place. But my God said even your good deeds are filthy rags. Jesus. Different standard, different God. Most other ideologies, they just like, do good. Buddha, just empty yourself of all passion. Problem is, after I empty myself of all of that stuff, I'm still there. Standard lower. No matter what worldview or ideology, the standard gets lowered. God says to us, I love Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We just read this. He's talking to all the dads. He's all like, so if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. And he didn't be like, well, except for my guys. Peter, you kind of all right. John, I love you, man. All y'all evil. How can he say that? John's gospel. He knew what was in man, not just what man did. You know what Hebrews says? That he is going to judge the thoughts and intentions of your heart. Not just your actions, yo. See that standard? And that feels heavy because you can't run from that one with good works. Because he's watching even while you do the good stuff. Yeah, I just helped the sister out, man. I had to serve the sister. Why though? You know how the Spirit do. And if you really got a relationship with him, he'll check you even before you do it. So something has to change. And my Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. So it ain't him who's going to change. Who has to change? The only way to be reconciled to God is for you to completely be transformed by becoming a new creature. This is what he's doing in the world. And he has given you the ministry of reconciliation. And it's good news. Why? Because you yourself have experienced it. You know what my testimony is not? Man, I used to smoke weed. I used to mess around with girls. And then I found Jesus. And I just started trying real, real hard. And then over years, man, like I got better and better at not wanting weed no more and better at being pure. Nope. I came to Christ. I wanted weed. I like girls. We just got to get way more honest in the church of God. Stop talking, oh, I fell into sin, I didn't want to do it. You wanted it. That's why you did it. You like it. I liked sin. And then Christ saved me. And that which I used to like, it just didn't taste the same no more. You know how you just eat stuff because it's just comfort food, but it still don't taste the same no more? Some of y'all still going to McDonald's. You know it don't taste good no more. Stop that. Just forcing it. Well, it's cheap. It ain't even cheap no more. Like, You just used to it. That's all it is. You're just used to it. God has changed your taste buds. That's why, listen to me, those who are in this right now, that's why that fornication don't feel as good anymore. That's why it feels forced right now. That's why your profane tongue just don't come out as the same. You've been katalasoed. You've been changed down to a point. And because you've been so changed, you don't have the same taste buds anymore. God has snapped you back together with Christ. You know, anybody play with Legos? It ain't nothing like just the snap of a Lego. Like, chica. And then when you just release the joint, like, and then you just got to hear it again. Chica. You release the joint. God has chikad the entire universe back together in perfect unity with the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The movie is already at its credits with Jesus. So our job now, we just go out and be commercial snapshots, advertisements, trailers of a movie that's already been completed. So how do we do that? As ambassadors, say ambassadors. Ambassadors. Say it with your chest, say ambassadors. Ambassadors. Say it with your chest, say ambassadors. Ambassadors. I like that word. That just means we are representatives. Oh, that's good news. You mean I don't got to come up with nothing unique? Nope. Just represent who Christ has been to you. So all you got to do, and hopefully you serve this with a smile. Ain't nothing worse than going to a restaurant where the waiter themselves don't like the food they're serving. I went to one John, seafood John. She's like, I'm allergic to fish. I was like, you got it. You got it. I don't eat at places where the waiter or the waitress won't eat the very food they're trying to give to me. That feels a little confusing, don't it? But you get real excited when the waiter be like, now I ain't gonna hold you. That joint ain't the best. But this right here, though, the catfish here, the shrimp, the catfish, though, you gotta get the catfish. And you gotta get it with the grits, though. Make sure that you put the butter in it. You should add butter. I don't really like butter. You're not doing it right. Get the butter. I like waiters who talk to me nice like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you can tell that they're trying to offer food that they've already tasted and seen that it is good. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that's a big if for some of us, but if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is merciful, that he is gracious, that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, then you should go out and serve that reconciliation with a smile. And I love Paul in 2 Corinthians, biblical theology right here, gives us the way that we should be good ambassadors. And we've already talked about them, mentioned them. So real quick, number one, he calls you, chapter 3, to be the aroma of Christ. Oh, my Lord, this is so good. You are the sweet-smelling fragrance for this nasty, stinky boys' gym locker room with the socks not washed yet. Pads all over the ground, world. And you go out as the fragrance to overcome the stench of this world. We like God's Febreze bottles. That if you're a teacher, he sprayed you into that school. That if you're a doctor, he sprayed you into that clinic. That if you're a lawyer, he sprayed you into that firm. You work on construction, he sprayed you on that team. Listen, if you're in politics, he sprays you. I could just see Jesus like, sheesh. He sprays you. But here's the crazy thing about the aroma of Christ. The aroma of Christ is actually the kind of aroma that comes from a sacrifice. That you are a living sacrifice. And what happens when a sacrifice is made? That meat is burned, yes, but everybody around gets to smell the fragrance.
Wow.
Now we ain't thinking about what's the pig in, oh my gosh. What's Charlotte's Web? What's that boy named Wilbur? We ain't thinking about Wilbur. We just want bacon. Because the fragrance, the smell of Wilbur burning. Smells so good to us. Listen to me. That's what your suffering is.
Yeah, come on, Doc.
That's what your pain is.
Yeah.
If you are in Christ, it's redeemed pain. If you're in Christ, it's redeemed suffering. God knows that he can trust you with pain. He knows that he can burn you with suffering because your suffering and the way you go through it produces an aroma for the world so that they begin to ask, how do you go through the same stuff I go through, but you do it with a smile? You seem to do it with joy. What source are you tapping into? And then you point them to no pig, but a lamb. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ, so that we would no longer view anything according to the flesh, so that we would have new sight, himself had to come in the flesh. He had to see things through our perspective. He had to see what it was like to really be hungry, what it was like to really be thirsty, what it was like to feel rejection, what it was like to suffer. And he experienced all of that so that he can really see things through the lens from which you view it. And Christ, in order that we might have a new status, had to take on a new status. He was always God, but now he had to become God-man, taking upon himself a body. And he wanted to give you a new service, so he himself had to take on service, the greatest service the cosmos has ever known, where the king would die for his citizens. I want you to see your Savior in this room right now. If you need to close your eyes, imagine your Savior dying for you. Imagine your Savior bleeding out for you. Imagine your Savior weeping for you. Imagine your Savior on the cross thirsty for you. Imagine your Savior with a crown of thorns piercing through the flesh in his skull. Imagine your Savior being nailed. Imagine the flogging of your Savior. Imagine your Savior trying to somehow catch his breath as he was suffocating through asphyxiation on his own body. Imagine the splinters of the wood rubbing up and down against the back of your Savior. I want you to see the service of your Savior. And I want you to see just how much a living sacrifice it was. You feel that? You feel that? You feel that? That's for your rebellion. That's for your fornication. That's for your pride. That's for your anger. That's for your bitterness. That's for your canceling others, though you'd never wanted to be canceled yourself. That's for when you didn't show mercy. Feel your Savior on the cross, because he was doing it for you. But I now want you to hear these words as you see him bleeding out. He cried this, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And in Greek, it's in the imperfect, so most likely the Savior was repeating it from the cross, catching his breath, not to cry out for himself, but once again, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Catching his breath again to cry out, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Catching his breath again to say, "Father, forgive her, for she don't know what she's doing. Father, forgive him, for he don't know what he's doing." And then he cried out with a loud voice, "Tetelestai, it is finished." Now you can open your eyes. What was finished? He had fully become sin for you. And you, by faith, can now become the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah.
The old is past. The new is here. Now, you might be asking yourself the question, that is a great, great, great movie. That's a good story. But how do I know that it's true? Well, I want to let you know about something. Our story does not end with our Savior on the cross. Our story does not end with our Savior dead. Our story does not end with our Savior crucified. Wanda, let vision die. Our Savior said, "I refuse to. I'll die for it." Because he knew he had the power to lay down his life, and he knew he had the power on the third day to pick it back up again. Early Sunday morning, our Savior, Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, rose from the dead, stepped out of the grave with all power and authority in his hands, and he did so bodily, not as a fantasy, but as reality. Why? So that you can know that the same way he received his resurrection, yours is coming too. Yours is coming too. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when that day is going to come, but your resurrection is coming too by faith in him. How do we know that? He has blown on you and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the Spirit of Christ is the guarantee that our resurrection is coming. Look at me. On that day, the old will fully be gone. The new will fully be here. There will be no crying anymore. There'll be no suffering anymore. There'll be no pain anymore. No more Wilbur burning anymore. Listen, the vision will never be clouded anymore. The vision will be clear. For we will all, with clear eyes, lay our eyes on the Savior, face to face, and everything gonna be different. 1 John says it like this, See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There's coming a day when we're going to lay eyes on the Savior. And we won't just be a commercial snapshot of the fact that the new is here. We gonna be experiencing it, y'all. And it won't just be a dome anymore. A world within a world. But when Jesus returns, He coming for takeover ministry. That dome is gonna encompass the world so that everything is gonna be the kingdom of God. We won't need sunlight. We won't need a lamp because our lamp is the Lamb. The thirst that you have now, you will drink from the well of living water. And for all of your hunger, the thing that was cut off because of our sin, our beef, our non-reconciliation, because we've been caught together with Him, we will now be able to eat from what Adam and Eve couldn't, the very tree of life itself. The old is gone. The new is here. That's a reality for those who believe. But some of you are not yet in that state. So right now, I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. If you have not stepped into the new through your faith in Christ, and you want to receive Christ today, stand on your feet on the count of three all over the room. One, two, three. Thank you. 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 Praise the living God. Praise the living God. Stay on your feet. Real quick, my brother, thank you for your boldness. Thank you for your boldness. My sister, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can y'all do a bold thing and just make your way down here? Just make your way down here. Just make your way down here. Make your way down here. Thank you. Thank you. Say, excuse me. Just make my way down here. Yeah. Yeah. Yup. 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 Yes, God, man. Yes, God, man. Yes, God, man. Yes, God. Yup. 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 Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. He sees all that shit. He sees all that shit. Yup, I see you, bro. I see you, bro. I see you, bro. Yup. 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 Is there anybody else who you've been wrestling in your seat up until this point? Is God whispering into anybody else's heart? We do not want to move past this moment. Is anybody else? You just got to say, excuse me, it's okay. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Just walk down if it's you. If the Lord is just pressing you in your heart. Going once. Going twice. I see you. She ran. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to get out of the way. But anybody else? We don't want to miss this moment. Anybody else? Anybody else? God is so faithful. He's saving right now. Anybody else? Anybody else? In the name of Jesus, you want, you know the Lord is pressing you right now. I see you. I see you. Yup. 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 Jesus. Yup. 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 Final call. Final call. Final call. Christ is calling you to be a new creation. I see you. I see you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Don't wait for me to say anything. Is there anybody else? Don't wait for me to say anything. I'm trying to move on. The Spirit is just stirring in a unique way. Is anybody else? Going once. Going twice. All right. Can we celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords right now? This place. Can we celebrate the Lord? Can we celebrate the Lord? Real quick. Those who are in fellowship in New Creation, you know how we do. All I want is for some brothers and sisters to grab hold of their contacts, to decide to counsel them, and to say, I will walk with you. Thank you. Thank you. We got some sisters in here. We need ladies. We need ladies. We need ladies. And sisters, if you're already walking with somebody, it's okay. Grab a group. We need... Christ did 12. You can do 3. We need ladies. Got to be a lady on every lady, a dude on every dude. I'm still missing a dude. I'm still missing a dude. I see you, bro. I see you, Lo. I see you, Lo. Yup. Thank you. I still got a lady over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna pray for them. I know y'all want lunch. I get it. I'm gonna pray for them. God just wanted to do business. We're gonna get, you guys are gonna take them and receive counsel out these doors. And then we're gonna prepare our hearts for New Covenant Meal. Why don't y'all join me in stretching out your hands over these new brothers and sisters? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that every single brother and sister right here, that right now that they will receive the assurance of salvation, which is not a thing but a person, the Spirit of Christ. Spirit of Christ, would you enter them right now so that they would never have to again question their salvation? The evil one wants them to doubt, but I pray right now that they will receive the Spirit of the risen Christ. And anytime the evil one would whisper in their ear, no matter what they feel like, they would be able to lean on you, Jesus. Thank you for your finished work. Thank you that tetelestai means it's already accomplished. It is not about their striving. It is about your sacrifice. So, Lord, I pray right now that you have made them new creation, that you are going to prove that to be a reality. And we thank you that one day when you will return, this moment will be glorious, for we will see all these brothers and sisters right here standing around your throne screaming, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. We love you, we thank you, and we honor you for what you have done. No man, what you have done. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen, amen, amen. Can we celebrate? Can y'all take them out this way? Can y'all escort them this way? Escort them to my right, please. Escort them to my right, please. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
I encourage you to receive what you heard this morning, not as man's words, but as it truly is, the word of God. All of us are responding. Whether we like it or not, we are responding to what we heard today.